بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد Continue readings in عمدة الأحكام by the great Imam Imam الحافظ عبد الغني بن عبد الواحد المقدسي رحمه الله تعالى We have been reading from the chapter كتاب الطهارة Kitab al-Tahara. We have come to the final chapter in the book of Tahara that the author he has mentioned, Rahimahullah, Babu al-Hayd, Babu al-Haydi, the chapter of the menses, Babu al-Hayd. The ulama they mention about this issue. Al-Hayd is from the verb Hada Yahidu. Hadat al-Mar'atu Tahidu. Haydan. Wamahidan. Wamahadan. Naam. And Al-Hayd is Damun. Tabi'iyatun jibilliyah. Yakhruju min qa'ri rahmi al-Mar'ati. Fi. أوقات معلومة. It is a natural type of blood that comes from the bottom of the womb of a woman in specific times that are well known. So this is a specific type of blood, not like the rest of the blood in the body of a person. Whether it's a blood that comes from a woman in that particular spot, it's released and it comes out in times that are known. And Allah Azza wa Jal, from His wisdom, He has created this blood for a great purpose and to be nourishment and provision for the child that is in the womb of a woman. This blood, if a woman becomes pregnant, then that blood it turns into nourishment for the child in the womb and provision for that child as it grows. And Allah Azza wa Jal has made it ghidha for that child, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, after the woman gives birth to the child, then likewise now that blood that was first blood, and whenever there's no child there or there's no breastfeeding, then that blood has to be released. That's the hayd. But whenever there's a child, then that blood that is released from the body, and it is considered najis and filthy, and it has those rulings that are related to it that we will study inshaAllah. If the woman becomes pregnant, it turns into provision, it turns into nourishment by the power and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and by His wisdom and His ability to do all things. So before we begin mentioning the ahkam of this, we ponder over this issue and we realize and these are from the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal, and from those evidences that will lead a believer to say once again, to reaffirm his faith, La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. The one who can create in this manner, he's the one who's worthy of worship. There's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. The one who created this blood, and then that blood goes away and it turns into provision. And then after the child is born, the blood now, it turns into milk. The red, filthy blood, it stinks and it's known and it has a certain color, so on and so forth, and a stench. Now it turns into, after being provisioned for the fetus and for the child, and now it turns into milk. Milk. It turns into milk, and it comes from another place, not in the bottom, rather in the top. It comes out of another place from the woman. Not in the bottom, rather it comes out of in the upper part of her body, from her breast. And then likewise, this is provision for that child. And this is nourishment and ghidha for that child. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. This is ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمُ الْحَقِّ. This is your Lord, the one who does this, the one who creates like this man in this manner, subhanahu wa ta'ala, creates all of these things in this life. Some of them we see the wisdom and some of them we do not. He is the one who's worthy of worship alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. To clarify that right to be worshipped, He sent messengers. And the final of them is our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Those who are successful, they follow His way and they learn His sunnah. And from the ways of learning His sunnah, studying the books like Umdat al-Ahkam And learning these chapters like this, the chapter of Tahara and that which is related to that, this is from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was upon Tahara, and his women were upon Tahara, and his children were upon Tahara, and his companions are upon Tahara. They're upon purity in their faith and creed first and foremost, also in their worship and their actions of worship, and they're upon Tahara in their manners and their conduct, and also in their bodies and in the places where they lived, in their clothing. And this is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we see again the wisdom from this from this blood. But if there is no child, that's why we see whenever the woman is pregnant, the majority of the women, they do not have the hayd during the pregnancy, nor whenever they're breastfeeding, because that blood, it turns into this nourishment. But if there's no child, nor is the woman breastfeeding, then at this time that blood has nowhere to go and it has to be released. So this is the hayd. This is the chapter that we're studying. That blood is released from the womb, from the bottom of the womb. It's not coming from any particular place. The ulama have clarified where it comes from. And this is a great benefit for those people who are learning fiqh, because the blood that comes from another place has another ruling. And we will see the issue of that inshaAllah. But the one that comes from the bottom of the womb of the woman at the well-known time, in this manner, this is considered the menses or the hayd. And this is what the rulings are. These particular rulings are related to and concerning. These particular rulings are related to and concerning. It's been narrated by Anas radiallahu anhu. Before we begin the narrations of the author has mentioned, rahimahullah, it's been narrated by Anas ibn Malik and radiallahu anhu in Sahih Muslim. He mentioned أن اليهود كانوا لا أو كانوا إذا حاضت المرأة فيهم لم يأكلوها ولم يجامعوهن في البيوت. That the Jews, that whenever a woman would become on her menses, when her menses would come to her, and the Jews in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if one of their women would have menses, they would not eat with her, and they would not mix with her in their homes. They would not eat food with her, and if the woman came on her menses, they would not eat with her. She would eat somewhere else. They would not mix with her in the houses. The women will go somewhere else. They would force them to do this. Naam, if the woman came on their menses. So Anas, he said, فَسَأَلَ أَصْحَابُ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَيْنِي أَنْ ذَلِكَ. So the companions of the Prophet, they asked the messenger about this. فَأَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. So Allah Azza wa Jal, he revealed the verse. وَيَسَّلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيدِ. And they ask you about the menses. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, فَاعْتَزِلُوا النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيدِ وَلَا تَقْرَبُوهُنَّ حَتَّى يَطْهُرْنَ فَإِذَا تَطَهَرْنَ فَأْتُوهُنَّ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَمَرَكُمُ اللَّهِ. Until the end of the verse. Allah Azza wa Jal, he revealed this verse because of this question from the companions. They asked about the situation and about the condition of the Jews and how they dealt with their women and whenever they're upon the menses. Allah Azza wa Jal, he revealed revelation that is recited until the day of judgment, clarifying this ruling. Naam, that they ask you about the menses, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيدِ قُلْ هُوَ أَذَنْ. It is harmful. It is something that is harmful. فَاعْتَزِلُوا النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيدِ. Stay away from the women. Stay away from the women فِي الْمَحِيدِ. And the ulama, they mention here, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيدِ. The first one is not like the second one. Al-Mahid is mentioned twice. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيدِ فَاعْتَزِلُوا النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيدِ. Al-Mahid, al-awwal, huwa masdar mimi. الحيض يعني يسألونك عن الحيض. And then the second one اسمه المكان. فاعتزلوا النساء في المحيض أي في مكان الحيض. فاعتزلوا النساء في المحيض أي في مكان الحيض الفرج. So they ask you about the menses, and then the Allah, he mentions subhanahu wa ta'ala that the menses is something that's harmful. It's something that is harmful, and you must stay away from المحيض, the women in the محيض. You must stay away from that place, and he meaning that the rest of their body is clean, and their sweat is clean, and their saliva is clean. But as for that place where the hayd comes from, that place is not clean. نَمْ فَاعْتَزِلُ النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيدِ نَمْ فَإِذَا تَطَهُرْنَا فَأْتُنْهُنَّ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَمْرَكُمَ اللَّهِ فَإِذَا تَطَهُرْنَا فَإِذَا the verse? يَطُهُ فَإِذَا فإذا الله المستعان فإذا تطهرنا فأتوهن لا ما before that there's two of them فاعتزل النساء في المحيط فإذا الله Allah al-musta'an. وَلَا تَقْرَبُهُنَّ حَتَّى يَطْهُرْنَ. That's the one we're looking for. فَلَا تَقْرَبُهُنَّ حَتَّى يَطْهُرْنَ فَإِذَا تَطَاهَرْنَ. نعم. فَأْتُهُنَّ حَيْثُ أَمَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ. نعم. وَلَا تَقْرَبُهُنَّ حَتَّى يَطْهُرْنَ. Don't come near them. يعني don't come near that spot. Meaning, don't come near that place. نعم. Meaning, حَتَّى يَطْهُرْنَ. Until they become pure. يعني until they become pure. Meaning, until the blood stops flowing. Until the blood stops flowing. نعم ولا تقربهن حتى يطهرن. Don't come near them, meaning in that place, until they become pure. الطهر is whenever the blood stops flowing, whenever the blood ceases and it stops entirely. Now the woman is considered she has reached طهر and she's considered طاهرة. نعم at this time, but then still it's not permissible for her husband to have relations with her. نعم فإذا تطهرن يعني فإذا اغتسلن. Now she has to, after she has reached طهر, now she has to make it تطهر. So there's طهر and then there's تطهر. So after she becomes clean, meaning the blood stops, now she has to make the غسل. Now she has to make the غسل of جنابة, the غسل of the menses, the غسل of the حيض, to remove the حدث, to remove the حدث. Now she is permissible. Now she can pray and it's permissible for her. She's permissible for her husband, so on and so forth. نعم. So this verse was revealed because of this question, and to clarify this issue. And we see that al-Islam, alhamdulillah, is the moderate course in between the two extremes. We see in one extreme here that the Jews, whenever their women would be on the menses, they would avoid them entirely. And they would not eat with them, nor would they allow them to be in their homes, and they would send them to a place away from them until their menses are finished. And they would completely avoid them. As for on the other hand, on another extreme, the Nasara, they have no shame and they do everything with them on their menses, and they have no concern or problem with that whatsoever. And as for the Muslims, then they have the moderate course, alhamdulillah, the Sharia al-Islamiyah, that we eat with them and we deal with them, but we don't go to that have relationships with them. As for eating with them and living with them, or touching them, or the likes like this, this is fine and permissible, yani unlike the Jews. But as for relationships, then this is not permissible, unlike the Christians. So the Muslims, alhamdulillah, they're the moderate course. Likewise, it is known that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to oppose them, and his deen is contrary to their deen. Upon clarification, even after this narration, after this verse was revealed, it reached some of the Jews. This narration in Sahih Muslim by Anas, it continues. Anas, he mentioned, radiallahu anhu, he said, after the revelation of this verse, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Isna'u kull shay'in illa nikah." Do everything except for relationships. And whenever she comes into the menses, do everything with her, and you live with her as you normally do, except for the relationship. Illa an nikah ajma. Naam. And then Anas, he said, فَبَلَغَ ذَلِكَ الْيَهُودِ. He said, this verse and this ruling from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached the Jews. So what did they say? They said, Anas, he narrates what the Jews said. They said about this. They said, مَا يُرِيدُ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ أَنْ يَدَعَ مِنْ أَمْرِنَا شَيْئًا إلا خالفنا فيه. ما يريد هذا الرجل. The Jews, they said that this man, he doesn't leave anything. He doesn't want anything from our affair to leave it, except he will oppose us or be different. And this is what the Jews, they said themselves. ما يريد هذا الرجل أن يدع من أمرنا شيئا إلا خالفنا فيه. That man, he does not want to leave anything from our affair, except that he will oppose us, except that he will be different from us. And this is something that the Jews, they even knew, and they said themselves. And this is collected in Sahih Muslim. This has been narrated. This is what they knew, that they knew that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not want to be like them. And if they were upon a way, that he would go another way. And whenever they wanted to, he found out that they would fast on Yom Ashura. What did he do? Sallallahu alaihi wasallam, fast the day before or day after, fast the day before and the day. Yani khaliful yahud, to be different from the Jews. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, many narrations, this is a fundamental principle in the deen. This is from the usul of Islam. And mukhalafat al yahud, ta'abudan lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, to worship Allah, to not want to be like them. Mukhalafat al nasara, wal mushrikeen, al kufar jami'an, to be different from them. To be different from them, especially in the things that they're specifically with. This is from the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even they knew that. Even they knew that. This man, he doesn't want to leave anything that we do except for he opposes us. This is what they said about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Naam. Likewise with the same issue, we see that the moderate course, the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has been narrated from Aisha radiallahu anha. She said, كنت أشرب وأنا حائض ثم أناول النبي sallallahu alayhi wasallam فيضع فاه على موضع فيه فيشرب. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used to be with his wife Aisha radiallahu anha. She says that she used to be on her menses and she would drink a drink, and then she would pass him the drink and he would put his mouth on the place where she drank from. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would put his mouth on the place where she drank from. And she says, وَأَتْعَرَّكُ الْعَرْقُ وَأَنَا حَائِذُ وَأُنَاوِلُهُ النَّبِيَّ sallallahu alayhi wasallam فِيَضْعُ فَاهُ عَلَى مَوْضِئِهِ. She said, and I used to eat a piece of flesh from the meat of food, and then I would hand it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he would take a bite from the same place that I had my mouth on. He would put his mouth in the same place I had my mouth. And to clarify the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the women, we stay away from them in this aspect, and he only in the fil mahid, and he fil farj. But as for the rest of the woman, she's pure, she's clean, and we live with her, and we eat with her, and we deal with her. But as for the relationships in that time, this is not permissible. This is not permissible. Naam. So another wisdom we see before we begin reading these narrations is that each one of us, we used to be in this womb. We used to be in the womb. And each one of us used to be provided this provision. In this manner. And this is the reality of the human being. So why should a person become angry, become arrogant? And how could a believer become arrogant? Naam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created us in this manner, and we know that. And we're provided from this provision, and we know that. And then we came out of the womb, and then we still had provision. We didn't do anything for that though, and we know that. Naam? Whenever we came out, هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فِرَاشًا. Everything is already there. Everything is already there for us. And provided for us by our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was our provision. So how could we be arrogant? How could we be boastful? Naam, that Allah created us like this. And then whenever the human being reaches a certain age, now he can talk. And then he uses his tongue to disbelief. And this whole process, he's in the womb, he's being fed with this blood, is turning into provision, and then he has feet and hands, and then he comes out, and then there's milk for him, and then he's growing, his feet are growing, nobody's making it grow for him, Allah is making it grow for him, raising him and cultivating him and nourishing him all the way until he becomes of age, and now his tongue is strong and he can speak. And then he says something like, there's no God. Or that he says something like that, talking bad about the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ. Now, the Allah Azza wa Jalla, He created everything. We should not be arrogant. We should. The reality of a Muslim is that he submits to Allah Azza wa Jalla. That he surrenders. He knows that I used to be like this. This is where I came from. Some of the Salaf, they would say, they would tell a person that was angry, they would say that you used to be أَوَّلُكَ نُطْفَةٌ وَآخِرُكَ جِيفَةٌ. In the beginning of your life was a sperm, this fluid, this lowliest fluid. And in the end of your life, you're going to turn into a deceased, a stinking body. And the whole time between that, you're carrying feces in your belly along around with you. So why should you be arrogant? How could you be arrogant? And how could you turn away and reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So knowing these things helps a believer to remember the blessing of Allah azza wa jalla, that He created him and provided for him, and then likewise the blessing of Islam, and to be thankful, and to bow down to Allah Azza wa Jal with those who bow down, and to prostrate with those who prostrate, and to submit with those who submit, and to surrender with those who surrender, and to strive to be obedient to the one who created them. This is the way of a believer. The author, he says, Babul Haydi, and Aisha radiallahu anha, anna Fatimata bint Abi Hubaishin radiallahu anha, sa'alat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. فقالت إني أستحاض فلا أطهر أفأدعو الصلاة فقال لا إن ذلك عرق ولكن دعي الصلاة قدر الأيام التي كنت تحيضين فيها ثم اغتسلي وصلي. وفي رواية وليس بالحيضة فإذا أقبلت الحيضة فاترك الصلاة فإذا ذهب قدرها فاغسلي أنك الدم وصلي. فاغسلي عنك الدم وصلي. The author, he mentioned this narration from Aisha radiallahu anha, that Fatima bint Abi Hubaysh, she came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and she said, إني أستحاض فلا أطهر. She said, verily, I am a woman who is afflicted by al-istihada. Al-istihada is another type of blood that comes from the same place. But it's different than this blood here. It's different than the blood of al-hayd. Al-istihada is blood that comes from a vein called al-adil. The ulama have mentioned it's a vein in that place that's called al-adil. And if it explodes or something happens to it, then it will release blood. So this is an indication that the makhraj of this blood is two different places. The blood of the hayd comes from the womb, from the bottom of the wound. The blood of al-istihada, it comes from a vein known to the ulama as al-adil. Al-adil, vein, it's an irq, yanfajir, fil mar'ah. And the blood, this blood al-istihada comes from there. It comes from there. And also the difference between the two is the blood of hayd that comes at a specific time that is known. As for the al-istihada, dam al-istihada, it comes without any specific time. It's unknown. It's a sickness. If a woman has this issue or the vein burst or it comes open, and then it would bleed. It would bleed until no limit, no amount of time or no amount. Likewise, but the blood is different, and the ruling for that blood is different than the ruling for the blood of the hayd. And this is the point here. So what is known, she says, some of the benefits from this narration, she says, I'm a woman, she's a woman that has al-istihada, and she doesn't stop bleeding. فَلَا أَطْهُرْ فَلَا أَطْهُرْ. So this point right here, فَلَا أَطْهُرْ, and meaning the blood, it doesn't stop. So this is an indication for the women to know that the طُهُر comes with انقطاع الدم, that the طُهُر, she's purified and she's done from the حَيْض whenever the blood stops. This is something that they know, because she considered herself to be upon the same ruling. She says, I don't become clean. لا أطهر فلا أطهر. Meaning the blood continues. So what is known with them is that whenever the blood stops, that's when they become clean. That's when they become clean. Some women, they hasten the issue. They hasten the issue and they want to clean. They want to take a ghusl and the likes before they become clean, truly. And when they becoming clean and reaching tuhur is whenever the blood stops entirely. Whenever the blood stops entirely. Some of the women of the Sahaba, they used to take some of the cotton and the things that they would have to stop that blood. And whenever they thought they were clean, it would have some color on it or some blood left on it. And they would take it and show it to Aisha radiallahu anha to ask, am I clean or not? And what is the ruling for this? And she would say, la ta'jilna. Don't hasten. If the blood is still there, if the color is still there, even if it's a little bit, or the yellow and the lights like this is still coming, then you're not. Then it hasn't stopped. It hasn't stopped. So the woman will not become upon any clean upon tuhur until it stops. فلا أطهر. نعم أفأدعو الصلاة. Should I stop praying? Also, we know here from the rulings of al-hayd is that it is known that she doesn't pray. So she's asking the Prophet, so I don't stop, it doesn't stop bleeding. So should I stop praying entirely? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا إن ذلك إرقون. نعم إن ذلك إرقون. نعم, and in one narration, he said, وليس بالحيضة. He said, this is only a vein, meaning that has opened, and is not considered the حيض. It is not considered the حيض or the menses. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَكِنْ دَعِي الصَّلَاةَ قَدْرَ الْأَيَّامِ الَّتِي كُنْتِ تَحِيضِينَ فِيهَا. But you should leave off the prayer, the amount of the days that you used to have the hayd before that. So this is in reference to the woman who is considered al-mu'tada. Al-mu'tada is the woman who knows her cycle. The woman who knows her cycle, she knows, for example, in the beginning of the month, that it's the first 6 days or 7 days, or in the end of the month, it's the last 7 days or 6 days, so on and so forth. Or she knows the time. It's something that's reoccurring, so she knows that. So the woman in this situation, who is in her menses, and then also she has istihaba. There's a problem here, and here's a problem here, because now the ruling for al-hayd, you can't pray, you can't fast. Naam, you can't have relationship with the husband. As for the istihada, it's the ruling that the ruling is different. The ruling is different. You can. You can pray, whether you have to. And you have to fast. And it's permissible to have relationships. So the blood of istihadha is different. The ruling is different. So if a woman, she has her menses and she has istihadha, she doesn't know. Maybe she doesn't know which one is what should I do? She doesn't stop bleeding. She doesn't stop bleeding. So what would she do? She leave off and stop praying entirely and consider it all hayd? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, no, you don't. That's not the case. That other blood is not hayd. It's not from the menses. Rather, this is a blood from the istihadha, from a vein that has exploded, from a vein that has exploded in that place. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he directed her, what should she do? The time that normally she would have the hayd, she would leave the prayer on those days. This is for the woman who knows. This is for the woman who knows what time is her menses. Some women, they know the time. Every month it comes at the same time. This woman right here, this is the ruling. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's clarifying this here. For the woman, they call her al-mu'tada. And with regards to the menses, that she knows whenever her period is, and she knows the amount of days that it is. So whenever that time comes, she stops praying. Whenever that time comes, she stops praying, she stops fasting, so on and so forth. And she treats it like it's hayd. Then whenever that time goes, she washes herself like normally, and then she prays like normal, and this blood here is considered blood al-istihadha, and it has a different ruling, and it doesn't stop her from praying, and it doesn't stop her from fasting. It doesn't stop her from praying, nor does it stop her from fasting. Naam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Walakin da'i as-salata qadr al-ayyam allati kunti tahidhina fiha thumma ightasili wa salli." So you leave off the prayer, the days that you used to, the amount of the days of your previous period, and then after that, you take a ghusl and you pray. You take a ghusl and you pray. Naam. So this is the case for the woman who knows her menses. If she is mustahadha. If she is mustahadha. What is mustahadha? Everybody with me?
Constant,
yeah. Consistent, naam, continuous. The blood continues flowing. But it's not considered all menstruation. And they make a difference between the blood of istihadha and the blood of hayd. So they call the hayd the menses. But as for the other one, it's a different blood. They call it blood al-istihadha. So we have dam. Dam is blood. Dam al-hayd, naam, and we have dam al-istihadha. So the issue here is that the woman who has istihadha, sometimes it will come continuously. Some women have this, it will happen for a month, 2 months like this, and then it will stop. With some people, that it will go for a long time. It's been narrated to one of the companions that maybe 7 or 8 years that she had this blood like this. She had to deal with this issue. She had to deal with this issue. So what does the woman do? If she can't differentiate between these two, this is the ruling. If she knows the period of her menses, she treats that blood the same, like whenever that period comes, she treats it like menses. After that period is done, for example, the very first 7 days of every month, she knows that this is her period. So now the istihadha comes, she can't differentiate. She doesn't know which one is the blood of this and the blood of that. So what does she do when the next month comes? The first 7 days, she stops praying. She stops fasting, if it's Ramadan, so on and so forth. After that day is over, after that period is over, she washes herself and cleanses herself like normal and goes about her business normally. Along with some other rulings that we will discuss, inshaAllah, that are specific for the mustahadha. So this is the first case. And one wording of this narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned, he said, إِذَا كَانَ دَمُ الْحَيْضِ فَإِنَّهُ أَسْوَدُ يُعْرَفُ فَأَمْسِكِي عَنِ الصَّلَاةِ فَإِنْ كَانَ الْآخَرَ فَتَوَضَّئِي وَصَلِّي. That also, another wording of this narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that he mentioned something now with the description of the blood. He said, if that blood is black, he said, if the blood of the hayd, it is something, it is known, so it's black. So if that's the blood that you see, then you stop praying. And then if that blood goes away, then after that you wash yourself, and then you begin praying. So this is another ruling the ulama, they mentioned with regards to the mustahadha, and that is the woman who is mumayyiza. The first one, the ulama, they call her al-mu'tada. What is she? She's the one who knows. She knows her ada. She has a ada, ma'rufa. Nam waqata ma'rufa ladayha. Nam, and then she's called mu'tada. The other one, the woman is considered also al-mumayyiza. Allati tumayyiza. Tumayyiz dam. Baina ad-damain. She's the one who's able to distinguish between the two. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned that the blood of the hayd is black. And also, and it's thick. The ulama have mentioned that this blood is thicker than normal blood, and it's black. It has a different color than the normal blood, and likewise, it has a smell. So it's known from its ra'iha, from its smell, or it's known from its color, or and it's also known from its thickness. It has a different ra'iha, smell, or also a different loan. It's aswad, and asat thakhin. Also, the ulama they mentioned it's thicker than the other blood. But sometimes a woman is not able to differentiate. Sometimes she's not able to. If she's able to, then she will differentiate between the two. So whenever the black and the blood that she knows is from the hayd comes, then she stops praying. And whenever that blood goes away, then she prays. That's how she differentiates between the two, because she can tell the difference between the two. Also, so this narration has come with regards to the ruling for the Mu'tada, as well, and another wording also for the ruling of the Mumayyiza, for the Mumayyiza. Now, in any case, what she does after her distinguished time is known, either from knowing the blood or from knowing the time of the time period. After that, she washes herself for the ghusl al-hayd, and then after that, she prays. But she has a different ruling with regards to her prayer. Yani she's considered upon tuhr, but yani meaning that she prays, and meaning that she fasts. And meaning that she can make itikaf, meaning al-mukth through masjid, ja'izun laha, she can come to the masjid, and the likes like this. But there's a bit of a difference, and that is that she has to make wudu at the time of salat. She can't make wudu before the time of salat. Naam, she can't make wudu before the time of salat. Naam, and also, and in one wording of this narration, also the author, he mentioned, فَإِذَا ذَهَبَ قَدْرُكِ أَوْ قَدْرُهَا فَاقْصِرِ أَنْكِ أَدَّامُ وَصَلِّي. And in one wording of this narration in Sahih Bukhari, ثم توضئي لكل صلاة. And one wording also in Sahih Bukhari about this narration, ثم توضئي لكل صلاة. So whenever that blood goes away or that period goes away, then you wash yourself and then you pray and you make wudu for every salat. So the ulama, they mentioned that this woman who has this constant blood, after she has determined between the hayd and between the other, the istihada, whenever she is praying, whenever that blood is still coming but it's not considered hayd, then she will make wudu at the time of every salat, for every salat. That's one thing. The second thing, when she makes wudu, she has to make istinja. She has to make istinja, she has to clean that spot. So when she makes wudu, the one who's the mustahaba, for example, her hayd is finished. Her hayd is finished, now she's going to pray. When she wants to pray, she has to wash herself in that private part and clean that. And then the ulama, they say, put something there also to help prevent it from getting on her clothing or from spreading. And then make wudu for the salat, and then she can pray. And then she can pray like normal. And also many of the ulama, they mentioned also that this woman in this state, it's permissible for her to combine the prayers, to make it easy for her so she does not have to do this many times in one day. Rather, she can combine the prayers. And the best way, and Allah knows best, would be to delay the dhuhr until the first time of asr and combine them at that time, if it's hard for her, if it's difficult for her. And then to delay the maghrib until the first time of the isha, and to pray them together like this, not shorting them, but to combine them. And if there's a hardship for her, but she's required to clean herself and then make wudu at the time of every salat, not before the time of salat, not before the adhan. It's not permissible. Similar like this is the person who has the ulama, they mentioned salas al-bawl or salas al-rih. Some people, they have a problem where the urine, it continues to come. It won't stop. It drips and drips and drips. The urine will continue. No matter what they do, it doesn't stop. Sometimes when they know it, sometimes they don't know it. This person, he has the same ruling like the mustahaba. This person who has the same ruling like the mustahaba, whenever it's time for the salat, he will clean himself. He will clean himself and try to put something on that spot and wrap it to keep it from going on his clothing, clean himself in his clothing, of course. And then after that, make wudu and pray. After that, make wudu and pray. Make wudu and pray. Even if it dropped while he's praying, he's okay. This is what's upon him. At the time of the prayer, after the adhan has been made, and the time for the salat has come in, he takes these procedures. He makes this istinja, and he puts something on there to prohibit it from spreading on his clothing. He makes wudu and he prays. Even if it drips during the prayer, what's the ruling? His prayer is good. Huh? لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah, he will not put a bear on someone more than they can burden. This person, he has no choice. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. So he fears Allah as much as he can. So the ulama have derived likewise this ruling. The person, they call it سَدَسْ الْبَوْ. سَدَسْ الْبَوْ. That is continue, and then he drops continue to come. Now, and there's another person like him called that has سَدَسْ الْرِيحْ. He can't hold himself. The gas will continue to come. And he'll make wudu, and he can't hold himself. It's a type of sickness. This person, he does the same thing. And when the time for prayer comes, he makes wudu and he prays. And if he's this person, even if it comes in the middle of the prayer, the ulama, they mention that his prayer is correct and Allah knows best. So this is from those rulings. Now that the woman who is upon al-istihada, that she can pray and she can fast and she can also remain in the masjid, but and also even it's permissible for her husband to have relations with her. But whenever she prays, what does she do? She waits for the time of the prayer to come, and then she makes istinja and puts something cotton there to stop that, and then after that makes wudu and prays and prays her salat, and prays her salat. Naam, this is what is required for her, and Allah knows best. Naam. The next narration, the author, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, wa Aisha radiyallahu anha anna umma habibata ustuhidat sab' sinin. Naam, fasa'alat رسول الله فسألت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن ذلك فأمرها أن تغتسل فكانت تغتسل لكل صلاة فأمرها أن تغتسل فكانت تغتسل لكل صلاة. The author, he mentioned another narration from Aisha رضي الله عنها. She says that Um Habiba, this is the sister of Zainab. Naam, Habiba, this is the sister of Zainab, and she is married to Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Naam, she said, Ustahila sab'a sinin, that she was inflicted with al-istihada for 7 years. And she asked the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about that. So he commanded her to bathe, to wash herself. Yani amaraha, fa amaraha an taghtasil. Yani inda qada'i. Al-Ada. Naam, and this meaning to wash herself, meaning at the end of her, referring to her period, at the end of her period, whether she is the one who knows it from her Ada or knows it from the Tamyiz, then whenever that is over, she will wash herself. But she herself, فَكَانَتْ تَكْتَسِلُ لِكُلِّ الصَّلَاةِ. She used to wash herself for every prayer. And for every prayer. This is not an obligation. This is not an obligation. We've seen the obligation for the mustahadah. She used to do this, yani ijtihad min anfusiha, min nafsiha, radiyallahu anha. She used to do this, yani out of her righteousness and piety. This is something extra, not obligatory. It suffices for that woman to only make wudu, but not her. She used to, radiyallahu anha, she used to make ghusl at the time of every salat. At the time of every salat, she would make an entire ghusl whenever she was upon al istihadah. Naam, but what is incumbent upon her? This is any mustahab. But what is an obligation is to only to make wudu, to clean, to make istinja, and then to make wudu in the time of the salat, and then to pray, and then to pray. The author, he mentioned, when Aisha radiyallahu anha qalat kuntu aghtasilu ana wa nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam min ina'in wahidin kilana junubun. This narration has preceded. He mentioned the narration of Aisha radiyallahu anha, that she said that me and her and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they used to make ightisal, they used to make ghusl together from one vessel, and both of them would be upon janaba. Both of them were upon janaba. So we see here the permissibility of looking at the private, or seeing the wife and the wife seeing the husband entirely. This is something that Allah has allowed for them specifically. And also the permissibility of bathing together and making the ghusl from the same vessel, so on and so forth, and the likes. And also the author, he mentioned the next narration, and he says, فَكَانَ يَأْمُرُنِي فَأَتَّزِرُ فَيُبَاشِرُنِي وَأَنَا حَائِضٌ. Also he mentioned the narration of Aisha radiallahu anha, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used to command her to put on an izar, and then فَيُبَاشِرُنِي وَأَنَا حَائِضٌ فَيُبَاشِرُنِي مِنَ الْمُبَاشَرَةِ. Al-mubashara, it has different meanings. Sometimes the word mubashara is referring to jima', Like in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَلَا تُبَاشِرُوهُنَّ وَأَنْتُمْ عَاكِفُونَ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ. And mubashara, originally, it means that the skins of two people will touch, and the skins touch, and like this, he touched. Also, mubashara, when somebody does something, he will do it directly himself. He will perform it. Yubashiru hadha al-amr. And he will do it himself, and from the meanings of this word. But sometimes the word mubashara is used to refer to jima', like in the verses of Siyam, in the Qur'an, in the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla, وَلَا تُبَاشِرُوهُنَّ وَأَنْتُمْ عَاقِفُونَ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ. This is referring to having relations. And other times the word mubashara is used also with regards to women. With regards to women, it's just referring to having al-istimta' without having jima', to partake in pleasure with them without having relations entirely, without having jima', any insertion. So that sometimes also this is referred to as mubashara. And this is what is intended here, not the first one, not the any jima'. Rather, the Aisha radiallahu anha, she mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to command her, meaning whenever he wanted to have partake in pleasure with his wife, that he would command her to put on an izar. فَكَانَ يَأْمُرُنِي فَأَتَّزِرُ فَأَتَّزِرُ أي أَلْبِسْ الْإِزَارِ. And from the belly button to the knees, the ulama they mentioned, wearing the izar from the belly button to the knees. فَيُبَاشِرُنِي وَأَنَا حَائِدٌ. Then after that, he would have pleasure with his wife while she is ha'id. So this is also an indication that has been clarified in the previous mentioned, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Fasna'u kulla shay'in illa nikah," that you could do everything with him except for the actual relationship. So even it's permissible to partake in pleasure with the woman, but not in that spot. That is forbidden and impermissible. That is forbidden and impermissible. As for having mubashara and the likes to touch her with pleasure, so on and so forth, this is permissible. This is permissible, and this is something the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he used to do, and he would command his wife like this whenever he wanted to have pleasure with them. If they're upon their menses, then he would command one of them to put on the izam to cover that spot, and then after that he would do as he liked. And then even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he said or has been mentioned that he would do everything above the izar. Like we've seen the woman who knows her ada, then she's mustahada, what does she do? Goes for the days that she knows normally, and then after that she washes herself and continues to pray, even if the blood continues. And she considers the other blood to be blood istihada. Taib, if she didn't have ada, but she knows how to distinguish between the two, and it's clear for her which one is which, then she goes by distinguishment. Whenever that specific blood comes, she leaves off the prayer, so on and so forth. And after it's gone, she washes herself and continues to pray, considers the other blood that is different to be considered blood al-istihada. طيب, what if she knows her time and she distinguishes? She has a particular time and she can distinguish between the two, but maybe they might be different. Ibn Sa'di, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, she will go by the tamiz. If it's clearly, that she can clearly, the ulama they differed about this, but if she can clearly determine between the two with clarity, she'll work by a tamiz before the adah. Also, if she doesn't have an adah and she's not able to determine the difference, what does she do?
How
is that though? How is that? Ahsant.
She goes by the standard period of women menstruation, maybe take 5 to 6, 7 days in a month, and the rest of it is
in the Sah. Ahsant. She, but not just the women in general, she goes by the women of her family. She will look at her mother and her grandmother and her sisters and the women in her family, in her direct family, and she will compare to theirs and then go by that. The woman, she does not know the ada, she does not have tamiz, she doesn't know she's mutahayyara, she doesn't know which one what to do, then she will look at the how the women in her family have their hayd, and she will follow that, and this will suffice her in this issue. Also, the ulama, they discuss when discussing this chapter about how the longest hayd, the hayd, how long is the longest one and how short is the shortest one, and when is the earliest age, and what is the, when does the oldest age. Some ulama, they have set a time for the earliest age that it can be considered hayd, and they have set a time also for the last age. Some have mentioned 50 years, 50. After that, there's no more hayd. And others have mentioned that likes like this, like the longest it can be is so many days, or the shortest it can be is so many days, so on and so forth. But what the ulama have mentioned, what is correct and Allah knows best, is that whenever she sees that blood, then she's upon the menses. And whenever that blood is not there, then she's not upon the menses. No matter how, the age, no matter how the age or how long it is, unless it comes to the extent that almost the whole entire month is in with bleeding, and then at that time she would be considered mustahala. But as for going over 7 days, 8 days, 9 days, 10 days like this, this is possible, or more or less normally like this, or even the earliest time. If the blood comes, then the ruling is there. If the blood is not there, the ruling is not there, and Allah knows best. And there are just a few hadith left in this chapter. Inshallah, we'll continue tomorrow. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So we plan tomorrow, we finish the chapter, we finish Kitab al-Tahara. This was our goal, alhamdulillah, to read from the book of Tahara in Umdat al-Ahkam. And inshallah tomorrow we'll complete that. Maybe we have time also for any questions or the likes like that with regards to the chapter of Tahara. The chapter of Tahara. After that, inshallah, we go back to our old schedule. We go back to the old schedule, and so tomorrow is Yom al-Sabt. So then Sunday, on Yom al-Ahad, we go back to Akhlaq al-Ulama on Sunday and Monday, and Al-Usul al-Thalatha on Tuesday and Wednesday. Inshallah, if we finish Akhlaq al-Ulama, we're almost done. It's not far. After that, we'll go back to this book, and we'll finish this whole book, inshallah. So we have on Sunday and Monday. Normally we do Akhlaq al-Ulama. It's almost over. Just a few more classes, inshallah. A couple more weeks. A few more weeks. And then when we finish, we'll go back and we'll start from Kitab al-Salah until the end of the book of Umdat al-Ahkam, inshallah ta'ala. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.